Fish is the miracle food. Fish is the miracle food. Fish is the miracle. Fish is the miracle. Fish is the miracle food.
That's a clip from the musical Guys on Ice, a play about Wisconsin guys talking about life while ice fishing. And we will begin this hour on ice fishing wondering why guys and gals enjoy this sport. What's the appeal of ice fishing? Any stories about what you get out of ice fishing in addition to the miracle food? Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, January 17th. We thought we would talk about ice fishing today during this hour where we focus on Wisconsin life each week because it's a popular wintertime activity in our great state and because this weekend you can fish for free without a license anywhere in Wisconsin. It's a free fishing weekend on inland lakes, on the Wisconsin shores of the Great Lakes and the Mississippi River. And there are many special events in many areas where equipment and instruction will also be provided. You can find more information on the free fishing weekend on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. If you have never iced fished, are you curious about it? Would you give it a try? If you are an ice fishing guy or gal, let us know. How did you get started? Why do you enjoy it? Do you get more out of ice fishing than fish? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Dan Small. He is the host of Outdoor Wisconsin on Milwaukee Public Television and the host of Outdoors Radio. Outdoor Wisconsin is celebrating its 30th season this year, and Dan Small joins us by telephone. Good morning and congratulations.
Thank you, Joy. Good morning to you.
Oops, it sounds like we might have a little bit of a fuzzy phone connection, but let's see if we can still hear you. You know, I caught one of the, maybe it was the first episode of the 30th season on the Wisconsin Channel on my cable network here in Madison. I think it's the Wisconsin Channel of Wisconsin Public Television, and there was a segment on ice fishing.
Oh, well, that was the first show of the year, and was that Miak fishing on Lake Winnebago?
That's right.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm glad that it's on the Wisconsin Digital Channel. When I checked the schedule, it wasn't listed, and so I wasn't sure, if the state network was carrying the show, but that's good if they are.
Yeah, I twisted some arms, Dan.
Well, I'm glad you've got some clout there. we could use all the help we can get.
But anyway, that's quite a run. 30 years of celebrating and sharing the joy of the outdoors with viewers of Outdoors Wisconsin. So, have you Outdoor Wisconsin? Have you been out on? Are you an ice fishing guy?
Well, an occasional ice fishing guy. I should say 30 years of ice fishing as well, because we have featured it on every season. And our second show, which aired last night in Milwaukee and again tomorrow in Milwaukee, and check the schedule for the Wisconsin Network, features me fishing on Peat and Well Flowage, another ice fishing segment where we caught a lot of crappies. I've been ice fishing, gosh, ever since I came to Wisconsin in the early 70s. I don't think I did it in upstate New York where I grew up. I don't recall doing it, but it's a way of life here. And as a lot of people up north say, or used to say anyway, Wisconsin has 6 months of good fishing and 6 months of poor ice conditions.
So is ice fishing explain to me the appeal of ice fishing. I'll say that I went once with a group of friends. This was probably back in the 70s too, for that matter. It was on Lake Dubé near Mosinee, and one of my coworkers was a huge ice fishing fan, and you know, I enjoyed it because the friends were out and we, you know, had a little party on the ice, and some of us caught some fish, and it was nice being outside. It was nice having fun with friends, but boy, you can wait a long time before you get a bite too.
Well, you can, and you can during open water season as well. In fact, I think that's one of the problems with the public image of ice fishing and fishing in general, whether it's a kid on the bank of a stream with a straw hat tipped over his face, asleep with his bobber sitting there and mm-hmm. no fish, or two folks in a boat idly passing the time with their line sitting there and no fish, or however many people sitting on white buckets on the ice looking at, staring at a hole in the ice and no fish. You know, it's the same whether the ice, whether the lake is frozen or not. But the key to find to having success when you're ice fishing or any kind of fishing really is find fish. And you can't just go out on a lake, drill a hole, and assume that there's a fish down there somewhere. You know, there's structure under the ice. There are different depths of water. There are weed beds there, and the fish move around. So fishermen today, ice fishermen today, are much more mobile than they were back when you and I got started, where you drilled a hole with a hand auger that took a long time. Now we have propane-powered augers that zip holes in seconds, and the people who are serious about it will go out and drill 20 or 30 holes and then take an electronic fish locator or a camera and move around from hole to hole until they see fish, and then they'll fish until they determine whether those fish are active or not. And if they're not, they move on to another hole. So it can be a very active sport, not just a sit on a bucket and wait sport.
Yeah. And you don't have to sit on a bucket either. You can have a little mini mansion shanty, can't you?
Well, some people do. In Minnesota, they have sleeper houses up on Lake of the Woods. They'll take you out in a bombardier, which is a giant snowmobile, heated cab and everything. They'll take you out and you can sleep overnight if you want there on the ice. And there are some folks who do that here in Wisconsin too, although Wisconsin we tend to be a little more Spartan about it. Some guides will have wood stove or propane stove heated shanties. A lot of people take a portable shelter, and there are a number of companies, several Wisconsin companies and one big Minnesota company that make portable shelters, and so there's no reason not to be comfortable. And clothing now is so much better than it used to be. You don't have to wear lots of heavy clothes. There's lightweight, insulated underwear and outerwear that can keep you quite comfortable when you're fishing.
Well, there is. One of the reasons we wanted to do this show is that we noticed that there's a free fishing weekend this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, January 18th and 19th. So you can fish anywhere in Wisconsin. You don't have to have a license. Inland lakes or the shores of the Great Lakes, the Wisconsin sides of the Great Lakes or the Mississippi River. Can you tell us anything about this free fishing weekend? Is this to encourage more of us to give this a try?
Exactly. It's, gosh, second or third year of the free fishing weekend in winter. Wisconsin has done this in the summer, actually in June. I think it's the first full weekend in June for many years. And now they do it in the winter as well. I think recognizing that, again, we have about 6 months, at least 5 months, and in some years this year we're going to have 6 or 7 months of ice fishing. So encourage people to get out there. And they also have a reduced license fee if you've never fished or if you haven't fished in 10 years. You can buy a license to fish other days than tomorrow and Sunday for only $5. So, they're trying to encourage more people to get out and enjoy our natural resources. And our frozen lakes are certainly one of the great resources we have.
Well, we will talk more about how to ice fish, maybe equipment that you might want to have for ice fishing. I want to talk more about ways to be safe and ways to be successful. But let's talk a little bit about why we should even want to do this. Why is it a good thing to do, Dan? Why does it appeal to you? Why does it appeal to so many in Wisconsin?
Well, I think fishing in general has great appeal, always has, to folks who are looking for a way to enjoy the outdoors and also to put some food on the table, because panfish and walleyes in particular are two most popular fish, and now whitefish on the Great Lakes are fairly easy to catch if you can locate them. And it's a good way to get some fresh air. It's a good way to clear your head of all the things that you might be thinking about and caring about and carrying around with you during the week. We did an interview with a gentleman who heads up a program called Veterans Outdoor World. His name is Lance Hafes, and he has formed a group that takes any veterans, and specifically they don't have to be disabled, but they take a lot of disabled veterans out on the ice. And he said he had an epiphany one day. He was fishing, ice fishing, and he could see this big perch down a few feet below the ice, and the fish would not hit. And for whatever amount of time that fish was there, he said, I forgot absolutely everything else, all my problems, all the issues that I dealt with as a combat in combat service, and I realized that it was therapeutic, and it was the best therapy I've ever had. So I don't know that I would go so far as to say that is an experience everyone would have, but it's an opportunity to commune with nature if you want to look at it that way. It's an opportunity to get some fresh air and to put some food on the table, and you know, for $5 or for nothing this weekend, just the cost of getting there and a little bit of equipment. I think that's a pretty good deal.
We are talking about ice fishing and the appeal of ice fishing and how to ice fish with Dan Small, host of Outdoor Wisconsin and host of Outdoors Radio. Do you go ice fishing? What's the appeal to you? And do you have any great fish stories, ice fishing stories that you'd like to share? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And on Facebook, you will find more information about the free fishing weekend, including places where they will be having instruction and equipment available for you to give ice fishing a try. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
Oh, I almost lost him.
Oh, he's just magnificent.
Magnificent. He's a damn record breaker. Oh. He's about a three-footer.
Oh, Max. I can see the beauty in this now.
See it?
Yes, the lure. Oh, the fight.
Oh, the bite. Wait till I show the guys.
The catch.
What a catch.
And then the release.
The release. What release? There's no release.
Oh, yes, it's beautiful.
No, I'll tell you what's beautiful. This monster on my wall, stuffed.
That's a scene from the movie Grumpy Old Men, where Anne Margaret and Walter Matthau get excited over the lunker that she catches while ice fishing. And they obviously have different ideas of what to do with that fish. We are talking about ice fishing during this hour of Tell Joy Where to Go, because this weekend, on Saturday and Sunday, it's a free fishing weekend in Wisconsin. You can try your luck at ice fishing and attend events to learn how to ice fish. Do you have an ice fishing story to share with us? Do you have a question about the safety, the equipment, the strategy of ice fishing? Why do you ice fish if you do, and would you like to try it if you don't? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Dan Small. He is the host of Public Television's Outdoor Wisconsin, celebrating its 30th anniversary this year, its 30th season. He's also the host of Outdoors Radio. And we have Dan in Drummond who joins us. Hi, Dan. You're on the air. Are you an ice fisherman?
I'm not. I have gone out with friends and that, but one of the stories that I heard, when the movie A Simple Plan was being filmed in Ashland, because Minnesota at the time didn't have enough snow for it, one of the male stars had made the request that he always wondered what it was like to go ice fishing. Well, what I heard was that this guy had gotten married, and he said to his wife, I know we're honeymoon, but I'd like to take this guy fishing, ice fishing. And he went out, and he said, I never had a greater sensation than fishing on the open, over a hole on Lake Superior.
So this was the actor who never had quite that experience.
Uh-huh.
Wonderful.
And if you drive in the wintertime from, say, December to end of February along the front, what they call Front Street in Ashland, from east to west. All you see is ice shanties out on the Lake Superior. It's just like in the movie Grumpy Old Men.
Thanks very much for sharing that, Dan. Do you know who the actor was that wanted to go ice fishing?
I don't remember it, who it was right off, no.
Yeah, interesting. So it's got an appeal even in Hollywood, apparently, Dan.
That might have been Billy Bob Thornton. My son worked at the Shawamigan Hotel when they were filming that movie. I don't remember that story, but he's right about the shanty town off Ashland and off many villages and cities around the state when we've got decent ice, and we do this year.
Oh, well, that's good to know. And so what a Lake Superior, we're going to get some whitefish there if we go ice fishing or what?
Well, Lake Superior, Shawamigan Bay in particular, has a great variety of fish, trout and salmon, of course, walleyes, perch, northern pike, whitefish in deeper water typically, and smelt. They actually ice fish for smelt and catch them one at a time, and smelt. Most people who remember smelting recall doing it with nets when they come into shore to spawn in the spring. But in the wintertime, you can catch them through the ice, and they catch giant smelt up to a foot long or so. That's, you know, it's not a huge fish, but it's big for a smelt. There's quite a variety that you can catch through the ice.
I had no idea. I always think of smelt as those, you know, almost minnow-like, but they can get bigger than that.
Yeah, they do. Yep.
Yeah. So what did Anne Margaret catch there if it was 3 feet long, do you think?
You know, I don't recall. It was probably a northern pike.
And do some people let him go? She did.
Yeah, that's a popular trend for all types of fishing now. Catch and release. Catch and enjoy the take a picture, enjoy seeing the fish, and put it back to grow and maybe give somebody a thrill another day. It's not as easy to release fish when you're ice fishing and have them survive, because if you hold them out of the water for too long, they can actually freeze. You'll see them become stiff in short order.
Oh.
And if you pull fish out of deep water, say 30, 40 feet or more, the pressure difference in the bringing them up from that depth quickly can cause them internal injuries. Now, some fish survive that quite handily, and some do not. And of course, if the fish is undersized or not, the season isn't open, you have to release it. So a lot of people do release fish.
Let's go to Jan in Sheboygan. Hello, Jan.
Hi. I've been ice fishing for years, and I like to use dead bait as smelt or other types of dead fish. And I use a rig called a flagle bait. It's very effective for hanging a dead bait. The key to hanging a dead bait on a tip-up is it has to hang horizontally perfectly. And the flagle bait makes it very easy to hang your bait, adjust it so it's hanging horizontally. The largest northern pike I ever caught while ice fishing was on a dead smelt. And I always hang at least one or two. And when you get a tip up on a dead bait, the chances of it being a big fish are better, you know. I just wanted to share that.
Yeah. Well, first, how big was that northern pike?
It was 12 pounds.
Wow. And so are you going to be going out this weekend, Jen?
I don't know. I guess my boss wants me to work, so I don't know yet.
And is it just the thrill of catching that big northern pike, or is there something more to ice fishing for you?
It's something to do in the winter. My son comes with me, and he enjoys it. We were on Shawano Lake 2 weekends ago, and I set one tip up, and I was setting my next one. Within 2 minutes, the first one went up, and I always let my son pull him up, and he pulled it, and I thought it was a smaller northern, and I said something to my son. He said, "Dad, that's not a northern. Northerns don't have stripes." It was a muskie. It was a small muskie that we released, and he was pretty excited because it was the first muskie he ever caught.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for sharing that, Jan. Any reaction to the tip that he gave Dan?
That is an old style way of fishing with dead smelt, and it's still effective. They make a variety of different hooks that'll actually hold the bait horizontal. And what he's describing is you're fishing with a dead bait that looks alive because it's in a position as if it were swimming. And if you do that, if you fish with that kind of bait on a tip up that the wind catches and will jig it up and down, you'll give it a little more illusion of life because it'll actually move. But yeah, that's a popular way. And northern pike are known to eat dead fish and dead frogs that they pick up off the bottom. So a lot of people fish with a dead bait, just letting it lie right there on the bottom. And it's easier to carry dead bait than live bait because it's already frozen. You don't have to try to keep
right,
it alive.
Right. Well, we'll check news and Wisconsin Life, and then we'll be back talking more about ice fishing with Dan Small, host of Outdoor Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234 if you'd like to join in with an ice fishing story or question. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We'll continue to swap ice fishing stories and questions in this half hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:37 on this Friday, January 17th. But first, it's time for Wisconsin Life. In Wisconsin, we're known for our love of beer and of brandy, but a micro distillery in the small city of New Richmond is breaking that mold by making an ancient spirit called Aquavit. Wisconsin Public Radio's Rich Kramer talked to the men responsible for bringing this Scandinavian tradition to Wisconsin.
The story of how Aquavit came to be made in Wisconsin has a lot to do with chance, circumstance, and luck, and it begins with Merrill native Mike McCarron. McCarron was a laid-off IT project manager who found work halfway around the world in Iceland as a professional cross-country ski coach. There, he became immersed in Scandinavian culture and struck up a friendship with a Danish neighbor. McCarron was invited to a traditional Danish smorgasbord luncheon where a dill-flavored liquor called Aquavit was used to toast the occasion and each other.
When I came back to America, I thought, well, I need to do this with my family, and I would go to the liquor store to try to find this Aquavit, and I couldn't find it anywhere. So that was kind of the genesis of the Aquavit idea. But at that point in my life, I wasn't anywhere near thinking that I should start a company and produce it myself.
10 years later, while living in Minnesota, McCarron finally took the jump into the spirits business.
Well, it wasn't here when I wanted it. It wasn't available here in Minnesota, where 30% of the Minnesotans claim Scandinavian heritage. It just seemed really odd that there were so few selections available, given those dynamics, and I thought there was a market because of that.
McCarron decided to launch his brand, Gamle Ode, which roughly translated means old ode. He wanted to make the dill aquavit he remembered, but couldn't do it by himself. He researched micro distilleries and found one just down the interstate in the small city of New Richmond. It was 45th Parallel Distillery, owned by another Merrill native, Paul Wernie. Inside the distillery, two large copper stills look like something straight out of the 1800s. One is skinny and about 20 feet tall. Another is short and stout.
The most common comments we get is everybody walks in here and they say, oh, this is like Willy Wonka's chocolate factory.
Wernie says Aquavit, like any other liquor, starts with fermentation, which requires a base.
Aquavit is traditionally produced with potatoes. Here in this country, it's more grain-based. Probably corn is the most common base.
After that, science takes over.
You mash that corn, you have a starch conversion to sugar, and then you add yeast, and that yeast consumes that sugar, and the byproduct is ethanol and CO2. And then after you have a neutral base, you start infusing with botanicals.
For the aquavit Mike McCarron wanted, they would need dill. He says they tried dried dill first, since it was easier to work with and available year-round, but the taste wasn't right. Then after some tinkering with fresh dill, McCarron got the news he was waiting to hear.
And so it was a one-line email. Mike, you're going to want to come over and try this. And right there I knew you know, without even getting in the car, I knew he had found the recipe. He found the right flavor.
The Dill Aquavit from New Richmond was born, and distiller Paul Wernie says it's become quite popular at upscale cocktail bars and other establishments in the Twin Cities, Milwaukee, and Madison.
Some of the top restaurants in the metro area are frequent buyers of this, and some of the top mixologists, they're the ones that are looking for it.
From Denmark to Iceland to New Richmond, Dill Aquavit is keeping traditions alive for Scandinavian descendants and offering a new taste to others in the Midwest.
That was Wisconsin Public Radio reporter Rich Kramer. Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. This episode was produced in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. For more information, visit our website at wisconsinlife.org and find us on Facebook. This is the hour each week when we focus on Wisconsin life, and today we are discussing a popular wintertime activity in Wisconsin, ice fishing. This weekend is Free Fishing Weekend in Wisconsin, where you don't need a fishing license to try your luck at ice fishing. We are sharing some ice fishing stories. We're getting some ice fishing tips from Dan Small, host of Outdoor Wisconsin, also host of Outdoors Radio. If you would like to join in, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Do you like to ice fish? What's the appeal of ice fishing for you? Would you like to give ice fishing a try? Are there any places that you would recommend for the best ice fishing? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So, Dan, have you ever had aquavit?
I have not. It sounds interesting. And that's the kind of drink that might warm you up on the ice.
Right.
You know, Wisconsin has the highest per capita consumption of brandy in the country, at least last I heard. And I think a lot of that is consumed by ice fishermen.
Probably.
Keeping warm or after celebrating the great catch.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of, you know, ice fishing 101. What are the basic equipment needs for ice fishing?
Well, you don't need much, really, and that's part of the appeal that I neglected to mention before. You don't need a boat, obviously, because you can't float one on ice. You need a jigging rod or a couple of jigging rods, and those are readily available at sporting goods stores everywhere, and you can spend a couple dollars on one, or you can spend $50 on one, so you don't need to spend a lot of money. Tip-ups are popular, and there again, you can get them for a few dollars or $20 or $30. Something to carry the tip ups and the rods in. Most people take a 5 or 6 gallon bucket and a pickle bucket and put them in there. You need some kind of bait. You need lures, and most people use small jigging lures for panfish, very tiny things, and larger lures, couple inches long for walleyes, and hooks if you're going to be fishing with live bait or dead smelt. A fish locator if you want to go high tech. Something to carry the gear with, and you need a way to get through the ice, and that's either a hand auger or a power auger, and a power auger will set you back several hundred dollars. The new propane auger the Jiffy came out with is about a $500 ticket, but it's a great tool. Hand auger can cost you $30 or $40, and the something to carry all this in can be just a kid's sled, a high impact plastic sled, or there are ice fishing sleds that are made just for this by a number of companies, and also some that convert into a 1 or 2 person shelter. So those are the basics as far as tackle and gear are concerned. But there are safety concerns as well, and I certainly want to talk about that. I don't know if you want to discuss that.
Yeah, I was going to say, especially you got to make sure the ice is thick enough, I would imagine.
Yeah, and, you know, people ask me, is it dangerous to go ice fishing? And I think it's probably more dangerous to get to the lake driving than it is to be on the lake ice fishing. But there's always a certain amount of risk involved. You should never assume the ice is safe, because currents, underwater springs, heavy snow cover, all of these factors can cause thin spots in the ice. And I've been on lakes where you'll have a foot of ice where you are, and you move 20 feet, and there's 3 inches of ice. And, you know, if that gets down to 1 or 2 inches, you're in, you know, you could be in trouble. And so if you are walking or skiing or snowshoeing on the ice, always carry an ice chisel or a spud bar. It's a heavy metal bar with a sharp chisel on one end and a wrist strap, because if it punches through, you could, and then you let go, you're going to lose it. You test the ice as you go. You lift it over your head and you slam it down into the ice, and if it doesn't go through, then take a step and then take another step. Do that. Keep repeating that until you get where you're going. Don't be the first person out on a lake. Somebody's going to be foolish and test the ice, whether he does it with a spud bar or just walking out. If there are three or four people already out on a lake or shanties on a lake, it's probably safe ice. You should also carry some items just in case there's an accident. A number of companies make ice picks, or you can just take two ice picks and drill a hole in the wooden handle of each one and run a cord through that, knot the cord so that you can hang it around your neck. And if you happen to go through the ice, you can use the picks to pull yourself out. Mm. But if you're overweight or out of shape, or if you get waterlogged quickly when you break through, you might not be able to pull yourself out. So it's a good idea to have a 50-foot length of rope with a loop in one end and a knot in the other, and you can throw that to someone. Or if you've got a rope and somebody goes through, you can throw the rope to that person. Somebody goes through the ice, you don't want to run over there and try to pull them out, because you're probably going to break through as well.
Right.
A cell phone, but keep it in a Ziploc bag or a zip vac bag so that it's going to work. If you go in.
And what about taking a vehicle out on a body of water?
Never a good idea, but people do it all the time. We used to drive, when I lived up in Ashland and Washburn, we drove on Lake Superior all the time, but only once there was a foot of ice and on plowed roads that someone else had plowed through, to get a clear space through the snow, because drifting snow can be, you can't really tell on the ice how deep the drifts are, and you can get stuck in a drift. And one late winter, I went through the ice with a friend. He's still up there fishing on Lake Superior, and he knows who he is, and so does everyone in Ashland, but I'm not going to mention his name. We put his truck on the bottom in about 30 seconds, and my son and I and he got out of the truck and clambered up onto the ice, turned around and looked, and the truck was gone. It was only 8 feet deep out on the flats east of Ashland, but 8 feet will kill you if you don't get out of the truck. And, you know, we drove with the windows open.
Wow, I'm glad you made it out, Dan. Wow.
And that's a trick that a lot of people use. You know, you don't count on your power windows to work.
That's right. So the ice conditions, though, this year, as far as you know, you mentioned, are pretty darn good.
They look good. You will note on the DNR website that they never say the ice is safe for the reasons that I've mentioned here. But ice conditions are good throughout the state. Everybody I've talked to says, oh, we've got a foot of ice already or a foot and a half of ice. Snow cover can be a problem getting on the ice. Last I talked to folks in Ashland, they were getting out with snowmobiles or on foot, but it was just too much snow, really, for ATVs, and that's another common way that people get out.
Yeah.
And on the Madison Lakes, you must have a flotation device on your ATV or your snowmobile in case it breaks through. And there's a new one that's been out a few years called the Nebulous that is absolutely phenomenal. It looks like a little backpack, and you pull a ripcord, and it'll inflate in about 30 seconds, and it'll float a snowmobile and two riders if you happen to break through the ice.
I had no idea such a thing existed. That's interesting. We are going to take a short break, and then we are going to welcome more of your ice fishing stories. Do you like to ice fish? Tell us why you like to ice fish. If you've never iced fish, does this appeal to you at all? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And on Facebook, you will find a link to more information for the free fishing weekend going on in Wisconsin on January 18th and 19th. You are welcome to be fishing in any of the inland lakes in Wisconsin, on the Wisconsin sides of the Great Lakes and the Mississippi River without a permit. There are also many various free fishing weekend events where you can learn the basics of ice fishing from the experts with the equipment already included. So join us as we talk about where to ice fish in Wisconsin here on the Ideas Network.
I've been to Allen's Grove, Emerald Grove, Cedar Grove, Union Grove, Soldier's Grove, Hales Corners, Slade's Corners, Abel's Corners, Newbert Corners, Pipersville, Pittsville, Deansville, Reeseville, Janesville, Platteville, Orphanville, Footville, Blanchville, Plainville, Plainfield, Nutterville, Butternut.
I've been over there, hey, smell that dairy air.
Well, this is an ice fishing edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. I'm Joy Cardine, along with Dan Small, the host of Outdoor Wisconsin on Milwaukee Public Television and the host of Outdoors Radio. This is the 30th anniversary, the 30th season of Outdoor Wisconsin. And Dan Small is also going to be at the Milwaukee Boat Show this weekend. You mentioned, Dan, you don't need a boat to go ice fishing, but people are dreaming of those lakes being open and getting on those boats already, right?
Well, that's one of the popular things to do in winter because after the Packers are out of the playoffs and the holiday season is over, people who don't ice fish or even those who do are getting pretty antsy about open water. So there are great boat shows, the Milwaukee Show this weekend and next weekend, and a new one, the Central Wisconsin Boat Show at the Wisconsin Dells Center next weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, plus small boat shows in a lot of cities around the state. I know La Crosse and Eau Claire and Madison, well, it's not a small city, but, the other cities other than Milwaukee. Boat shows are really popular, and they celebrate the boating lifestyle, and they give you a chance to dream about open water when you can't be there. So I'll be there at the Milwaukee Show at State Fair Park all weekend and actually right through next weekend. So folks want to come and talk open water fishing or ice fishing, I'll be there.
All right. Well, maybe we should put a link to the Milwaukee Boat Show on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page so people can check that out as well. So, and on Outdoor Wisconsin, did you say the current episode or the next episode is going to feature you doing some ice fishing on the Peatonwell Floge?
Yes, I went out with Jesse Qualley, who is a guide from Juneau County, who fishes in Juneau and Adams County. And we caught more crappies in, the 2 or 3 hours we were out there than I've ever caught on the ice in short order. And we caught so many of them, we had to do speeding up of the video.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're just going through the fish there to show you how much fun it was. And, it can be like that sometimes. Not every time, of course, but sometimes it is. And he was on fish. He had a locator. We drove out in his truck. He had a GPS in his hand as we were driving out, and we're going out on Peatonwell, which is it's 20-some thousand acres, huge body of water, during the week, so there's nobody out there. We get about 2 miles from shore, and there's a speck on the ice that as we get closer, it's obvious it's a guy fishing. And Jesse looks at his GPS, and he says, he's on our spot. And I'm laughing because, you got the whole lake. But this guy was on a river bend, an old river channel, with a lot of brush and woody debris. And that's what holds the crappies, because that's what holds the insect life and the bait fish that they eat. So we set up about 100 yards from him, which is very, very close in ice fishing when you've got 20,000 acres. And we started catching fish. And, we wouldn't have caught fish if we'd been 500 yards off in a different direction.
So good strategy there. John in Park Falls is with us. Hello, John.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
Good. This is John Smart.
It is indeed.
Oh, wonderful. So do you go ice fishing, John?
Well, I don't anymore, but I did. And listening to this program has got me all riled up in memory because My birthday, when I was a boy, this is, my birthday is between Christmas and New Year's, which meant when you're a kid that it got ignored a lot. You know, people would say Merry Christmas and Happy Birthday, and it kind of bugged me. So my dad decided at one point that what we would do is we would take me and some of my buddies, and we would go out ice fishing on a weekend trip. And we would go, some friends of ours had a cabin on the Turtle Flambeau Flowage, and we would go there. And we would use, as I said, I would take three or four of my pals along with me, and we would go out and spend the whole weekend there at the cabin and out onto the ice. And we had a toboggan, and we would drag everything out onto the ice by the toboggan. And it was long before people had shelters and tents and people thought about driving on the ice. Or it was long before augers and power augers to drill into the ice. We used a big chisel, and it took forever. But I have very fond memories, I'll tell you.
And did you catch a lot that day, or don't you know?
Well, we did it every year.
Oh, you
did? For about 5 years, we did it every year. And it was an annual trip. And, we caught crappies. We caught lots of crappies. One time I was a picture, my picture was in the Park Falls Herald with 50 crappies, which was 2 days. You were allowed to catch 25 a day.
Oh, my gosh. We'll have to find that picture, John.
I'd love to. I have no idea where to find it, but I would love to find it.
John, thanks a lot for joining us. John Smart, who is one of our regular Week in Review guests who lives in Park Falls, sharing that memory. Dan Small, so there's a lot of friends and family and good times to go with the ice fishing.
Well, there certainly is, and he mentioned the Turtle Flambeau Flowage. That's one of the great places. There's so many great places to fish in Wisconsin, and that's one of the great ice fishing destinations. The folks up there in Mercer really know how to have fun in the winter, just as they do in Ashland, and actually right where you are, Joy, in Madison, some of the greatest fishing in the whole state. You've got Mendota and Monona and Wabisa and Kiganza all there, you know, just a short distance. So great opportunities.
Well, it sounds great. I might have to give it another try. Thank you so much for being with us.
That's a pleasure.
Dan Small, host of Outdoor Wisconsin on Milwaukee Public Television, and you can check your local listings. I know I caught an episode of Outdoor Wisconsin on the Wisconsin channel of Wisconsin Public Television. He is also the host of Outdoors Radio. Dan will be at the Milwaukee Boat Show this weekend and next, I believe. We'll put some information on that up on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Thanks to Robin Cherry for producing this hour. Thanks to Cynthia Schuster for on-air production. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. We're going to talk about the rise and fall and rise again of facial hair. There's a new trend of men growing beards. What do you think of this trend? We'll talk about that coming up after 7. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. I got a hit. My name's Steven. Holy crap. My phone's been...